Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and inspire you to understand that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. When you can keep that mind open, you will find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And a special hello to Diana, who just came into the queue tonight, and anybody else who's listening that would like to speak with Dean Roberts, our special guest for the evening, please feel free to tune in. And before I tell you about Dean and introduce him, I'd like to put it out there that today is World Prayer Day. And so if everybody could just take a moment to focus inward and project outward a vision for peace and plenty, plenty of love, plenty of peace, plenty of prosperity for all. We live in a land of plenty, and we are blessed to live in America, for those of you who are tuning in from the U.S. But let us consider the places within the United States and all those places within the world where there is poverty, where there's despair, where there's war. Let's see only positive things happening. Let's not dwell on the negative. Let's do what we can do by taking personal responsibility to show by example, the power of example, that we can change this world one person at a time, and in so doing, inspire others to do the same. Let's put an end to war. Let's put an end to greed and corruption. Let's put an end to violence that affects the very spirit, not to mention the bodies of those who are being unjustly persecuted and violated in whatever manner. And so that is my thought for the day. And I thank all of those who joined me in this meditation. And now let me tell you about Dean Roberts. He's just finished a book about his journey from being expelled from school at the age of 16. It's called I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. Love the title. He created a multi-million dollar manufacturing business 25 years after dropping out, after being expelled from high school, and he covers that in the first 16 pages. The book is short. It's only 91 pages, and the balance of the book is mostly made of his journal's entries between 1990 and 2014. They chronicle his attempts to train himself in the art of living in a positive and grateful way. And there are two ways that you can look at grateful. There is the grateful that comes from appreciation, and there is the grateful way of life. If you would like to do this, you're in the right place at the right time. There are no coincidences, he says, and everyone can find that kind of success if they but believe in themselves. Amen to that. That is what it's all about, folks. It's about focusing your energy in a positive fashion and believing in yourself. If you don't believe in a higher power, I just ask you to look within whatever needs fixing within yourself that causes you to constantly repeat the same patterns that bring you no satisfaction. You need to heal yourself if you're going to move forward in your life. And so let me introduce Dean. Dean, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
All's well on this end.
That's great. I was talking to Dean before the show, and he just hurried home from the Toastmasters meeting. And for those of you who don't know what that is, would you explain that, Dean?
It's an international organization that encourages and trains people to become more efficient in public speaking. And they have meetings almost in all cities in the United States and many, many smaller towns like Oneonta.
Well, I've known other people that have been in Toastmasters, and some of them were people that had no self-confidence to begin with, and it's a wonderful way to develop self-confidence and develop self-esteem and to become inspirational speakers such as yourself. And you certainly have a very inspirational story. I wondered if you'd be willing to go back in time to the time when you were facing expulsion from school and tell us your journey forward from that and how you made a multi-million-dollar manufacturing business.
One comment before I start. Wayne Dyer just passed away recently, and he's been a great teacher of mine in many of his books. And he got his first starts in public speaking through Toastmasters. So I would put that out there for anyone who is aspiring to speak in front of groups or to learn about that, that it's a great organization.
I didn't realize he's written many wonderful books. The most recent one of his that I read was Excuses No More, which was a wonderful book. And all of his books are so inspirational, so God bless him. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to start talking about how I had quite a difficult start. I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and I didn't like school, and I wasn't good at it. And I can remember this scene in the Dean of Boys' office when he made me bring my mother in because I had been going on the hook a lot and having a lot of trouble. I was there. And he said to her that as far as he was concerned, my education was complete. And she got all upset, and I got all happy, and we left together. And I spent about a year and a half hanging around the house doing almost nothing of any value. And then I joined the Navy. I had this great vision of adventure and travel, and it turned out to be three different duty stations in the state of Maryland and a whole lot of drunken weekends in Washington, D.C. But I did learn a few valuable lessons in the Navy. They taught me how to do what I'm told when I was told with no question or exceptions. And that was a life skill that my parents really never made work for them. I learned how to make my bed and wash clothes and take a shower on a regular basis and play poker and a few things that weren't quite as valuable as sanitary habits. So after that, I almost immediately got married when I got out, and we had two children very quickly. And I hadn't done well vocationally at all. I had worked several different jobs in the airlines because that's what I did in the Navy. I worked in airplanes. And my mother and father were in the steel wheel die business. They had a shop, and they were doing about $20,000 a year in sales. And my mother, for the sake of her grandchildren and talked my father into giving me a job, and it was not a very productive situation, not a very wholesome situation around here for the first couple of years. But I kind of took on responsibilities. I realized I had a family now. I had to grow up and act like a responsible human being. And after about 10 years, I had really started to get the picture. But one of the great transformative things that happened to me is someone gave me a copy of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I had sense enough to read it and reread it and try to start to implement some of the things that I learned. And it not just gave me a direction in my career, but it also opened the area of books and of learning because I had resisted that most of my life. Another book that came along around that same time was Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And that was the beginning of a spiritual quest for peace of mind and gratitude and humor, which was much later before I made any progress in that. But with the help of Think and Grow Rich, I was able to catch on to the business thing. And after my parents retired, and about 7 or 8 years after that, a friend of mine made some drawings on a dollhouse kit. And we made a set of dies and die-cut a bunch of dollhouses, and I went to a trade show, and we sold a lot of them. It was like a real hit at a show. There were no other die-cut, there were no other dollhouse kits in the whole craft show. It was a craft and hobby show. And that was kind of the ticket to ride. We started making different designs, and we started to make a lot of different styles. And within 5 years, within 4 years of that trade show, we broke $1 million in sales, and then it was run for the sun after that. We were doing trade shows all over the world, and we were selling hundreds of thousands of dollhouses. We became the largest dollhouse manufacturer in the world, and the company probably still is. My son and daughter took it over in 97, and it's the business is, the whole craft industry is taking a beating from the mobile computers and phones and everything else, but there's still we're still making dollhouses.
Well, that is great, and I just am trying to move my dog to another room because I have my studio at home, and he was just about to act up, so I hadn't expected you to finish talking at that point, and I was a little distracted. My apologies to you. I'm just curious. You talked about some valuable life lessons that you learned in the Navy, and I trust that you came to see some things that didn't work so well for other people. Where did most of your inspiration come from that propelled you on the pathway, not just to material success, but to a place where you realize that you're here for a reason, a larger reason than just making money?
It was another moment of insight. I was 75, 85 pounds heavier than I am now. I was asthmatic. I smoked. I drank. And I woke up, and I was sleeping in a living room chair because I had a bad cold, and I couldn't even lay down. I just couldn't even lay down and sleep. So I woke up, and I took a couple hits on the Metahaler, and I lit up a cigarette, and I was sitting there thinking about all of the responsibilities I had the coming day. And then it was like the lights in the house went on. I just all of a sudden realized, this doesn't work. I can't live like this. If I continue, I'll be dead in a very short period of time. And then the next day, I threw the cigarettes away. I stopped drinking for a period of a couple of years. And I started to study about health and fitness. And from that point on, well, it was probably 5 years after that, but I fell into a morning practice where I would get up every morning and read. I'm still reading today three of the same books that became an integral part of my life. I'd read three or four of those and a couple other books, and then I would journal for a while, meditate, and do some form of exercise, whether it was on a device or calisthenics or yoga. Yoga practice became very important to me as time passed. And that morning routine is the ticket for anybody that's not completely happy with every aspect of their life.
Well, it sounds to me like it brings you a sense of balance from what you're doing. You're focusing your mental energies. You're taking care of your body. You let go of self-destructive habits. I wish I could let go of the smoking, and I will. I trust. I've let go of many other self-destructive habits. And, it's all about mind, body, and spirit, isn't it? Integrating the whole and finding balance.
Absolutely balanced. Because I don't think that to live life optimally, you can study a spiritual practice and meditate and still, if you don't have the vitality of good health, proper diet, exercise, enough rest, proper hydration, good clean air to breathe, you can't reach for the stars. I mean, you can reach, but you your progress is limited by because we're a biological experience. We can't get away from it. And the better our biology works, the better we can, the easier and the more fully we can train ourselves to go to gratitude and good humor.
Well, you've talked about a few things. Let's talk about humor and let's talk about gratitude. I think those are two very important things for us to exercise in our lives in order to stay sane and balanced and to appreciate the blessings that come our way. And I believe gratitude is a gateway to more abundance, quite frankly. There are spiritual laws going on in this universe that a lot of people aren't aware of. And there are people like Dr. Dyer and many others. There's Esther Hicks. There's Louise Hayes. There are many people that have learned a secret, if you will, that if you follow certain spiritual laws, which have to do with remaining positive and aligned with your spirit or with your bliss or with your joy, that it will only attract positive things to you at all levels. And maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think that the Indians call it karma. And I think if you look at it just from a material standpoint of cause and effect, that we put forces in motion every time we do anything. There's this wake that we leave behind us of things that are going to follow us in our lives. And the more you can give, the more you can get. Napoleon Hill said to me in 1965, give more than you get, and you get more than you give. And I didn't really understand it, but as I kept reading the book and I kept thinking about it, and then as I experienced life and grew, I realized I don't want to get 50% in the deal. Win-win, that's great, but win, extra win. Put that 5% or 8% goodwill capital out there. Try to get 45, 48%. Look out for the other person. Go out of your way to help them in any way you can. And that goodwill capital is worth more than money in the bank. People will go out of their way to get business for you, to help you when you have problems, to give you advice when you need it. It's like a magic formula. Give more than you get more than you give, and your whole life will be abundant. And I'm 76 years old now, and I radiate with goodwill. I just feel this tremendous sense of gratitude all the time. If I lose the car keys or leave my cell phone somewhere or something, I just giggle as I'm looking around for it, because am I going to interrupt my gratitude and my harmony for the sake of a careless a movement? It just amuses me. But that didn't happen by accident. One of my favorite authors, Robert DeRoe, wrote a book called The Master Game. And the most powerful line that I've read in my life, I think, is by skillful means, one can learn to be comfortable even in hell. And I've tried to apply that skillful means, and anybody can, anytime. Every single stumbling block is the greatest opportunity of your life. You just have to address it in the proper way and use it as a way to build your skillful means.
Well, I think that's a really important thing to pick up on, and there are a few other things, too, that I'd like to go back and review. But, you know, so many people hit a stumbling block and view it as a failure, and then they perceive themselves to be failures because they don't have good self-esteem in the first place. But, you know, every thing that happens in our life is a lesson to be learned. And if we can learn the lesson, then we move on and advance. And if we don't learn the lesson, law of cause and effect comes into play. There's more karma, and the lesson will keep repeating itself, and sometimes in nastier forms, until we get it. And so, you know, to maintain a sense of humor about it is a form of detachment. We attach ourselves to outer conditions that we think are going to make ourselves feel better, and we end up beating ourselves up because nothing fills us up like the joy of spirit. However you want to define that, you know, to me it's source energy, God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, universe. I know God turns some people off, and it's just a term that I use because of my background growing up with Christian influence, and I don't align myself with that particular religion anymore, although there were a lot of valuable lessons there. But I love the fact that you've made lemonade out of lemons and that you laugh over what are silly little piddling things, and sometimes for many people, it's those little things that bother them the most. Now, what is there about that? And then there's the whole pay it forward aspect. I read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, which was a wonderful 40-day spiritual journey that's intended to reveal your life's purpose. But the one thing that really impressed me that I read either about him or in the book is that man lives on 10% of his income. He's a multimillionaire many times over, and he tithes 9%, and he still leads an abundant life. Now, that speaks of what you were talking about.
Yeah, that's great. What's his name?
Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I don't
Rick
necessarily
Warren.
Agree with his theology, but he's a very inspirational person. Yeah, W-A-R-R-E-N, Rick. He has his own church out in California, I believe, and it's a marvelous spiritual journey.
I'm reading his book, actually. We were traveling, and somebody gave it to me, and Rick Warren, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to say.
Oh, that's cool.
Positive.
Yeah. So let's talk about positive. Let's talk about the importance of remaining positive and how that can attract more positivity. I mean, we live in a vibrational universe, and what we put out, we get. I mean, you've talked about karma, and so have I. The law of cause and effect, or the law of attraction, as Esther Hicks would refer to it. What would you like to say about that, and how your life can serve as an example by applying those spiritual laws?
I think that a way to look at this is that we have a negative bias, and it's an inherited quality that was a survival mechanism for humans for thousands of years. That but what I mean by that is our mind would be drawn immediately to a tiger in the woods. There could be 50 maidens up on the hill with no clothes on, but that one tiger is going to get all our attention. And that negative bias is something that we deal with. We can just skate over a bunch of good things and whine for a whole day about some simple inconvenience. That's a thing that needs to be overtrained, retrained, and overcome. And one of the ways that I've found to, and this is as per Rick Hansen, is a podcast I listened to recently from Dave Asprey, and he said that we wire our brains by we have a positive experience. He says take 10, 15 seconds and relive it and savor it and think it, because the neurons in our mind are firing over and over again. They'll repeat 6 or 7 times per second. And as we do that, we're rewiring our brain to be positive, to expect positive. We're creating the habit of seeing the world positive. And I think that goes to what Robert DeRope said about skillful means. And I listen to that podcast over and over because it's such a simple thing anybody can do. And it's not something that's going to change the way you look at something in a day or two, but it accumulates. Every day that you do that, you get the dog comes over, or your kid smiles, or you meet a stranger on a bus, and just savor that and think about it and allow that goodness to come into your soul and your mind and replicate itself, and then get the habit of that, because we live by habits. We're ruled by habits. So we need to create habits that will lead us to the destiny that we want.
Well, you know, you use the word simple, and I used to complicate the bejesus out of things, and that's coming from the perspective of a former addict and somebody who was so caught up in their head instead of thinking with their heart, which that's where I live from today 99% of the time. But what was told to me early on back in the days when I was recovering from addiction was to keep it simple. and, you know, to use common sense. And anything that seems to come from source, God, energy, whatever you want to call it, is really very simple. And I like what you say about retraining, because we are all trainable. We are little children in a sense. And why would you complicate things for a little child? I mean, we all have little children that live inside us. Why complicate it for them? Make it simple, you know? And
yeah.
You know, when I can do that, then I don't get caught up in being upset over minor things. I just say, well, oh, well, so I lost my car keys. That's all right. I'm not stranded somewhere. I'm here at home. They've got to be here around here somewhere. And, you know, if worse comes to worse, I can have a locksmith come out and make a new key. Whoop-de-doo, you know. So, you know, it really is a matter of perspective and putting things in their proper perspective, wouldn't you say?
I would say absolutely right. And the perspective that people need to, that I need to reinforce and increase in myself, is that this is one more opportunity to practice the greatest skill, the purpose of life. If not to evolve yourself, what? To get a ton of money, to be the president of the world? That this is the greatest project that anyone can fall into. And this particular loss of the keys, or I can't find my glasses, or the phone's not plugged, the battery's dead. All this is one more opportunity to practice that skill and to become better at it. And that perspective will carry you through anything.
Life is all about skill building. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's not necessarily about education. I mean, all the lessons are already there. All we have to do are open ourselves to the wisdom of those around us and look at other people who serve as examples to us. Who needs a college education? I mean, granted, it can be helpful in terms of finding a job, but if you truly believe in yourself, it's not necessary. I mean, look at Dean. He didn't finish high school, and he's a multimillionaire, you know? What would you say to somebody? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially today when we walk around with all the information that's ever been known in the history of the world in our pocket, that education, knowing things is important, but skill development is the purpose of life, I think. And as if there's another life after this, or a reincarnation, or however that works. Our skills in appreciating what we have here now will carry us through that.
Well, you know, life in itself is a classroom. And as I was saying, we learn so much from the wisdom of others if we open ourselves to that. At least that's been my experience, and I'm not going to tell people that you have to do it my way. All I'm doing is saying, this is what's worked for me, and Dean here is serving as another example of somebody who has not gone necessarily the traditional way, but let's face it, a lot of self-made men and women in the history of the world did not have college educations. And look at some of the magnates, you know, of the 19th and 20th centuries. And what I really like is the fact that many of them, those that were not greedy, became philanthropists. And as Dean and I were talking about earlier, 10% of the world's population holds 90% of the wealth. Now, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. It'll change. That's all I can say. I think the level of consciousness in the whole world is evolving towards a community. I don't know. You know, there's so many deterrent and destructive things going on in the world. I don't know. But what we can do is, the second thing I said in the back of my book that we can do in this instant, we can either take some action or project some thought that will make the world a better place. Pick up garbage, smile at a stranger, send a card to somebody you haven't talked to, call a friend. As that radiates out into the world, change will happen.
Well, I like that attitude better than what I just said, what's wrong with that. I was trying to get people to take a look at it, and it's a little bit of a trick, because I think what when we focus on what's wrong with something, it never gets right. What we need to do, I believe,
right.
And I'm interested in what you have to say, is to focus on what is right with it, and what can I do? How can I take responsibility? How can I make a change for the better? And you just cited many examples of what you can do. And it all creates positive energy flowing that flows back at you, because the greatest gift you can give is to give of yourself. And, you know, it's said that it's greater to give than to receive. And yet when I give, I get so much in return just from the joy on somebody else's face. And we all have a responsibility to each other. And as you said, I believe consciousness is raising at an exponential rate, and that we need to think outside the box and focus on solutions instead of problems, and not remain victims to this mentality of what is wrong with the world? Why don't we have peace? What can I do to strive for peace instead? What do you think?
Today, right here in my community, what can I do? That's right. Yes, I think that complaining about anything is, even politicians, is probably a not of much value, because the more positive expressions that we can put out into the world, into the, like Jung called the universal consciousness. Or he had a word for it, but this field of energy that surrounds us, the better everybody's going to be.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this may seem like a strange question, because I'm not asking your ego to answer this. When I ask you this question, I'm wondering what you are most proud of in your life, and I trust that you'll come from a place of spirit when you answer that.
I think it might be the influence and the way I ran my business that right now we have a health food store, and we have about 12 people working there, and they're all kids. And I treat it like it's ours. It's not mine. It's not my wife's. It's our collective activity to serve the community. And they all act like that. I get compliments every time I'm there from about the help and the way they treat the customers. And to create a sense of community, a sense of togetherness, and to with a common purpose is probably the thing that I like the most about myself and my accomplishments to this day. And I had that same atmosphere in the manufacturing, but the manufacturing is such an unwholesome thing. I mean, we had picnics and parties, and every time we came out with a new dollhouse, we had a party, and we took bus trips to the fair. And I try to make it as wholesome as you can, but standing in front of a production machine all day long is people do it, and I'm glad that they did, and I tried to make their lives as good as I could in every way that I can. But it's a crappy way to make a living.
Mm.
And but now with the health food store, these kids are all part of the picture, and they all act like it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, you kind of hit on this, but I'd like to kind of underscore getting back to this principle of paying it forward, passing it on, giving instead of receiving. There are a lot of people that might say, but I don't have any money, how can I give? What would you say to them?
The best gift you can give to the world is to build yourself powers, to study, to learn, to become an example for the people in your life, the people that you deal with, and anybody, start today. I would say, if you could get a copy of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations and Wells' book, realize that I'm standing on this 70, from the high ground of my life, 76 years now. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. And I realize there's worlds above me that I could grow into. There's It's like Socrates said, you know, the one thing I know for sure is I don't know anything. And the more you learn, the less, in many ways, you know better how little you know. And
right.
You keep building your power, keep studying, keep learning, keep helping people. Go out of your way. Somebody's got a flat tire, stop the car, give them a ride, help them change the tire.
That's right. You don't need to give materially. Just give of yourself. Give of your time. Give that stranger a smile. Let somebody in ahead of you when you're driving. There are all kinds of simple things you can do. You know,
absolutely. That's a very simple thing that you can do as a principal. And instead of people racing to get ahead of you, slow up. Let people in. Let people turn.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I liked what you said, that you're in the right place at the right time and there are no coincidences. Would you elaborate on that?
I think that universe, that wisdom, that the God, the power that is, always knows what we need to learn most and will continually talk in a louder voice if we don't pay attention to the lesson at hand. And the more you listen, the more fun you have, the greater this experience, this little short-term flick of a switch that our lives are, can be a joyous, remarkable, challenging, learning and serving. Give more. You know, Napoleon Hill had that give more than you get and get more than you get. Another line that really impressed me was, every adversity has within it the seeds of an equal or greater advantage. And as soon as something starts going wrong and you start complaining about something, look at it, step back from it, find out where is the value in this? What can I learn here? What can I accomplish here? What's the opportunity in this particular situation?
Well,
and you know what? When you do that, most of the time you'll find something.
And what's the use of complaining? It only draws more negativity to you.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I trust in your life. I've heard it in between the lines and even more so that you've served as a mentor to many. So I would like you to consider that there's some young person who is feeling down and out, who doesn't feel like they've made anything of their lives. Maybe they're a high school dropout. Maybe there's somebody that's graduated from college with a degree that they don't find particularly useful and nobody is willing to hire them. What words of inspiration would you offer to somebody who feels like they're stuck, who feels like there's no way to get ahead?
I'd say, number one, get a copy of Think and Grow Rich. And number 1A, get out. Even if it's collecting beer cans and bottles out of garbage cans, get involved in the marketplace. Go down the street and see if you can find somebody whose garage you can paint or whose grass you can cut. Get involved. Get active. Because everything that you do is a learning experience and a contact. You get down, you meet somebody, and you get out there and you cut their grass like crazy and trim it out really nice and cut their hedges and everything else, charge them a reasonable price. There ain't people like that around anymore. He'll be telling his friends and neighbors, recommending you. That it's so rare. I mean, I had hundreds of people working for me, and to get somebody that's got any real life in them and hustle is a rare thing. So you hustle, get out there and collect all the beer cans you can and take them down to the redemption center. I mean, that's a place to start, but I'm saying get active, become a force, become a power, become a creator. And opportunities will present themselves. Get some hustle.
Well, let's talk about this creator business. Yeah. Well, I like the word creator. And, you know, I've heard the term co-creator, meaning that we are co-creators with our higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. I've heard people say, and I believe it to be true, that God is everywhere present, including in each and every one of us, and that's where wisdom comes from. When words resonate, when somebody says something that provides an aha moment or plants a seed that will later bear fruit. You know, it really is an amazing universe if you open yourself to the possibility that there's more to this life than the small, loud ego that inhabits our brains and tells us we're no good or that we're never going to get ahead, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so painful to watch. And I'm saying, oh yeah, it's so easy. I mean, I used to be so depressed sometimes. I once almost stepped in front of a train. I just was so hopelessly depressed. It's felt like everything I did was wrong. Nothing was going right. But that's a possibility. Again, you got to back up, start to study, start to take care of yourself physically, and things will change. And I would, if any of your listeners would want to use my little bit of wisdom that I've acquired over the years, I would be very happy to share it with them. And I think you'll be able to provide them with some kind of contact information at the end.
Why don't you do that yourself right now?
I can be reached.
What's the best way for somebody to get in touch with you?
I'll fix my head at gmail.com. Or for telephone, I can be reached at 607-434-3429.
Okay, and if you missed that, just go back and listen to the podcast. You can just scroll ahead, although you may find it useful to listen to what you've already heard, because you don't always get it the first go-round, folks, and there's a lot of wisdom that's being exchanged here today. And you're talking to a self-made man. Dean Roberts is here today. And why don't we go and take a phone call, Dean? How would that be?
Sounds great.
Okay. My studio is not cooperating with me. Hold on, Diana. I know this is you. I'm going to put you in limbo for a minute and then try to bring you back, but I won't disconnect you. Okay, let's try it again. I have to laugh at all these modern inconveniences. Let's see.
Modern inconveniences.
Still trying to reach her. Still trying to reach her. And for anybody else that's listening today, if you want to talk to Dean, just press 1 and you'll be connected. Oh, boy. Well, let's talk for a few minutes while the studio is doing its thing. I don't know if you can hear us, Diana, but at any rate. So we've really talked a lot about lessons today and how the lesson is always there in front of us. We go step by step, and you've talked about how there are no coincidences, and I'd like to say there are no mistakes. Everything does happen for a reason in the right time. And is there anything more you'd like to say about that?
I think that study. I really got to keep coming back to study, reading, because inspirational books are a way to start your day out. I've read literally hundreds of different books. I've read everything that Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and W.C. Stone and a whole variety of other Ram Dass. And listen and read every day Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins has been a great inspiration to me, and his work is just absolutely phenomenal. His insights into the human potential of human service. He has been a tremendous and is a tremendous influence for good in our world.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend his work. So study,
well,
study,
Diana,
study,
I trust you can hear me now. If you can, I'm going to invite you to hang up and call back, because I'm having a problem connecting with you. And if you do that, I'll know that you can hear me, because we'd like to hear what you have to say. We'll see what happens. I trust everything's happening for a reason. And it's interesting. I have this angel reader who's on my show occasionally, and I did a private angel reading. Her name is Caroline Nettles from the United Kingdom. She's a wonderful, wonderfully inspirational woman. And she said I was going to see the number 44 over and over, which is the number of minutes that has been on hold. And what that means, I looked it up, the angels are with you. I cannot tell you how many times I see 44. So that's very affirming. Diana has not hung up, so maybe that means she can't hear us. So I don't know what to do, but I guess we'll just keep talking. What if somebody asked you the single most important lesson that you've learned from life, what would that be, Dean? Are you still with me, Dean? Now it seems like I've lost Dean. Well, here we are again. Dean, I'm putting you on mute for a minute, but you should still be able to hear me. And to all those listeners out there, I want to remind you that today is the World Day of Prayer and invite you to do with it as you please. Dean, can you hear me? Well, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. And Dean and Diana, I still see you there. And if you at any point want to just speak up. I don't know what's going on. And my apologies to the listeners here for all of this, all of my pitter-patter here. I'm just trying to reach my callers, and it's very frustrating. But I'm going to let it go. It's like the car keys. There's not much I can do about it. Dean, are you there? Okay, well, tonight we've been talking to Dean Roberts, and he has written a wonderful book called I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. He's a self-made man who became a millionaire after having been expelled from high school at the age of 16. And he's talked about many things that have to do with wisdom. He's talked about keeping it simple, about passing it on, about not remaining idle and getting out there and hustling and using positive energy to bring about positive results. There are spiritual laws at work in this universe, and all you need to do is open yourselves to the possibilities that there are greater realities than you've ever perceived, and they are lessons that are waiting right on your doorstep each and every step of the way. And with that said, I'm going to try one more time to reach Dean and Diana, and nothing seems to be working here. So folks, I thank you for tuning in tonight. One last time, I'm trying to reach Dean. And Dean, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to save you folks from my monologue. I'm going to thank you, Dean, and I will be calling you in a minute just to debrief. And for those of the rest of you, I wish you Godspeed. And always remember, you're right where you're supposed to be, and that you are doing the best you can with what you know about yourself here and now. And if you consider the possibility that you always have, no matter how you've judged that in the past, we all only do the best we can with what we've been taught, and yet we can always do better if we open ourselves, open our minds, open our visions, and step into the light. the light of a new day, the light of a lesson learned. History does not have to repeat itself. If you stay the course, learn the lesson, and keep moving forward in a positive direction. And so now, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we open ourselves to the wonders of the universe. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.